11 after 7. If you've just joined us, of course, it is Anzac Day. It's a beautiful day in Sydney. It'll be a lovely day for the march, which is now being held down Elizabeth Street. There have been dawn services that have been held across Sydney this morning in so many different parts. I've noticed on Twitter the number of people who've been tweeting some quite remarkable photos of the commemorations that are held in different parts of our city at dawn. A huge one, of course, at the War Memorial in Canberra, the ones that are happening in the other parts of the world. But a lot of it focuses on particularly the First World War. We had the 100th anniversary of Gallipoli, the 100th anniversary as we move through these next few years of the events of the First World War. The money being spent, it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's an estimated $550 million, and that takes in not just commemorations and events, but sort of overhauls and refurbs of some of the, you know, from everything from cenotaphs to RSLs.
And yet in the march today in Sydney, there'll be an increasingly large number of people who've served overseas post-Vietnam. The numbers in total are something like 75,000. The figure, and I find it staggering that there's some thousands, maybe 3,000, of those who are homeless. These are people who've served and have found it very, very difficult to deal with the trauma they experienced. And that's the call this morning, that we should try and have a look at whether they need to be looked after and whether there's a big pot of money being spent on other things that perhaps could be directed in that area. The CEO and founder of the veterans group Soldier On has made this call, John Bale. He joins us on the line right now. Mr. Bale, good morning.
G'day, John. Gary, how are you?
Very well, John. Thanks for joining us this morning. You're an Afghanistan veteran yourself. Can you start by telling us sort of what emotions go through your mind on Anzac Day?
Look, it's a tough day. It's one of those days where I think a lot about a good mate who was killed overseas in 2008, Michael Fussell. All the other guys who have come back and haven't been the same since they've gone and come back. But also the positives, you know, Defence Service is something very unique and lots of my friends have come back. Most, in fact, have come back and that opportunity has actually been very good for them. It's been a good thing in their life. So it's a complex day, but also a very poignant day still.
I mean, it's an extraordinary figure, isn't it? Almost $500 million being spent on World War One commemorations, and yet we've got 3,000 veterans who are currently homeless.
And we don't know the full number of those that are currently homeless, and we don't know those that have unfortunately taken their lives since, 1991. But we know that there's more that have taken their lives since 1991 than we actually lost in Afghanistan. So that's over 41, well over 41. And the focus on cenotaphs and new memorials, for us and for me personally, I think that's missing an opportunity. My great-grandfather was at Premel. He was wounded there. And I know what he would want is to make sure that this generation, the one that follows in his tradition and the one that follows in all the Anzac's tradition, they're the ones that get looked after. And with this huge amount of public money, that's what it should be going towards. But also the community should be rallying behind this generation and linking the past to it, not simply looking back 100 years, and focusing on something that, to be honest, is distant for most Australians.
Well, can I ask you, John, because it is distant, but for me and for plenty of other people, you mentioned Fromelles, and I think of an unspeakable horror, and you can understand why we mark it and we remember what your great-grandfather went through. So how can you explain to us what it was like going to Afghanistan? You've mentioned that you lost someone that was close to you who you fought with. How do you explain the post-traumatic stress these people are feeling?
Look, I think you have to have someone explain that themselves. I haven't been through that, but obviously plenty of the people that we support have. I think giving them the opportunity to talk about what they've been through, what they've faced, because you're right, we do understand from Mel, we will understand it hopefully even better this year. But we don't understand still what we did properly in Afghanistan, in East Timor and Iraq. And I think, in a way, we're closer to my grandfather and his cohort 100 years ago than we are to the veteran of today. And that's why I think the commemoration element of what we're looking at needs to be focused on linking those two together. In no way am I saying that we shouldn't commemorate what happened 100 years ago. Absolutely, we should. But it has to be towards a positive outcome. It has to be something positive from all this.
So, John, who's responsible for letting this generation of veterans down? I mean, we don't even know, do we, the suicide rate among returning soldiers. Is it the Defence Force itself? Is it grandstanding politicians who like to be photographed at all of these Anzac Day commemorations? Who do we blame?
Look, I don't think it's about blame. It could be one of those things where it's a plethora of people, to be honest. But what's the point, really? We are in this point right now where we have still 2 years left of the centenary. We've got hundreds of millions of dollars expended, some to come. And what we need, I think, is a change in conversation. That money's gone, it's finished, that's fine. But we need to make sure that this community understands that simply because this generation's back now, in most instances from Afghanistan, we are actually still there in some ways, that we don't forget them and we make sure we as a community rally around them. The big thing that we want for veterans getting out of the Defence Force who have been affected is empowering jobs. And that's something the community can be a part of. We want the community to be able to support them through their transition and reintegration back into society. So understanding them, getting into schools very soon, the education of what's happened recently, I think they're the fundamental things. I think blame in this instance, it's a very easy thing to do, but again, it comes with no positive outcome. And I'd rather see something where the community can see a positive outcome.
It's one of the great ironies, isn't it, that 100 years ago, returning soldiers were almost guaranteed a job when they came back to Australia. They may have come back and never talked about their experiences, and they may have suffered great mental scars and physical scars, but at least they have had a job to come back to. We can't guarantee a returning soldier a job.
And I don't think it's about guaranteeing them a job either. It's about giving them the opportunities so that they can get that job, because you don't want to give out jobs or charity. You want to give them all the tools to be able to get that job. And in order to do that, the community needs to understand what they've been through. And I guess that goes back to that previous point. If the community doesn't understand what they've been through, doesn't understand some of the complexities, but also doesn't understand the incredible attributes of the modern soldier versus the soldier of 100 years ago, they're not actually going to look to employ them properly. Unfortunately, a lot of people's views are still around Simpson and his donkey when you look at today's Defence Force. And that's changing, but we've still got a long way to go. And today is the day when everyone's focused on the ADF and veterans. And that's why I think the conversation needs to be about what can we do for this generation and commemorate 100 years ago.
I would have thought that anyone who served in Afghanistan, Iraq or East Timor, they're going to be an elite performer by definition of what they've done over there. So surely they're going to be a great acquisition for any employer.
I'm glad you say that. And some employers see that, but unfortunately some others don't. They think you've just done one job for 20-odd years. I'm not sure about this, that or the other. So there are some stigmas out there around defence veterans and employment, and also the scope of employment. But that's what we're trying to address, and that's what the community can be a part of to make sure that those transitions are as best as possible so people can honestly get the best jobs, because we find that that transition space, when you're getting out of the Defence Force, that's one of the hardest parts. You've taken off the uniform, you've taken off the self of identity, and especially when you've been told to take off the uniform because you've got PTSD or something like that. So it's a hard time, and I think that's where the community can be instrumental in supporting veterans.
I mean, we're touching on some pretty sensitive areas here in Australian public life, but the fact that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars commemorating World War One, does that sit uneasily with you?
It does. As I said, I've got a lineage here, and it goes back a couple of generations. But going back to my great-grandfather, yep. I think he'd want to make sure that this year, that the memory of what he did is actually supporting someone who's living today. And to be honest, the biggest thing I think we can find out of the centenary of Anzac, when you go back to 1919, at the end of our period of the Great War, what we didn't do for the veterans, how we didn't support them through the soldier settlement plan as well as we could, how the community was so over war and didn't understand the long-term consequences of that most tragic war. That's, I think, the lessons we need to be looking at, not necessarily just the heroics of and tragedies of the actual conflict.
Yep.
Because, yes, that's part of history, but what did the community do? Because that speaks to everyone here in Australia, because we are the community. And just like then, we have a living generation of veterans among us.
Right. And we might find out that the cost to the community is far higher when we ignore them than in helping them. John, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Absolute pleasure.
Good to talk to you there, John. John Bale, if you've got some thoughts on that, you may have... it's very personal, all of this stuff, though, isn't it? Very personal. Mm. So if you've got a personal experience or that resonated with you, give us a call, 1313 32.
It's a valid point to be raising on a day like this, though, isn't it? That hundreds of millions of dollars spent in these commemorations. Mm. There is nothing wrong with commemorating Anzac Day, with commemorating the spirit of our troops and what they achieved for this country. But I think it's a very valid question to be saying, well, why the hell aren't we doing more for the modern-day veterans?